Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan Podcast. And today we're here with Jane Tabachnik. So excited to have her here today. Jane really came to me in an interesting way, we just found out. She actually had her company reach out to me, proving her point as a PR champion, because I get pitched to all the time to be like, hey, can we come on your show? And it doesn't mean I don't like people for wanting to come on the show, but you kind of have to protect your audience. So when she came to me saying, hey, like I've done all these amazing things, you know, she's been featured in a lot of different places. She's made over 250 best-selling authors, and she's a top 100 person by Fast Company. You don't really get there without being very, very good at PR, which she is. So Jane, I'm super excited to have you here today. So could you say what's up to our audience, and then we'll hop right in.
Hey folks, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks, Josh.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be fun. So Jane, my very first question to you is actually about podcasting and PR. We talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but your whole focus has had to shift, I assume, because of the coronavirus situation. And as far as getting your authors onto to shows to promote their stuff. So what role does podcasting play in the PR, in your PR world?
Yeah, so podcasting has been taking a larger and larger role in the PR we're doing. We were doing radio tours for authors, and there's something called the satellite radio tour where you can actually do them all in one day, all remotely. And so it was easy to transition to the podcast format, but with the coronavirus, with less people driving, we just felt that podcasts made more sense because we could reach the people that we were looking to reach through the podcast medium. And it just felt like a better fit for our audience, you know, for my authors and experts as well.
Yeah, I love that. I was just kind of curious. I hope people will look at that, because the value of podcasting and PR has really been seeming to explode, because it allows you to just get your message out there and honestly lets you kind of train yourself. But what I love about your model is getting onto an audio situation, so either radio or podcasting, is just one piece of the PR. So can you kind of walk us through what you would do? So say I come to you and say, hey, I want to blow up my personal brand. What would be the first steps that you would take me through to help me to actually get my message out there to more people?
Oh, I love this question. Juicy. So the first thing that I'd want to know is who you think your audience is and what they listen to, what they read. And I'm amazed to find that a number of people come to me really don't know. And that's okay. But this is really important to know, because you want to fish in the right pond. So you want to be pitching the right publication. You want to be where your audience already is. That's the magic and the leverage that you have. It makes it so much easier. You're already speaking their language and you've got a warm audience by doing it that way. So you want to know who your audience is, where they are. And if you haven't already interviewed them, spoken to them, you want to know really what their pain points are. And sometimes it's not what we think they are. So it's valuable to actually speak to your audience and to do it maybe once a year or twice a year, because things change. And that way you can also pick up how they describe the problem, the actual language they use. And you've probably heard this said, but when you use that language in describing the work you do, the problem, et cetera, it resonates more with them. Because I can call it a widget, but they call it a XYZ, and, you know, like Coke and pop in different parts of the country. So you want to resonate with them. And then it's really a question of knowing also what formats they like. Some audiences like long form content more than short form content, or they're more visual. They buy more audiobooks, and it's not a one size fits all. I don't want to suggest that. You can have an audience that buys maybe 60% more print books, but they're still buying audiobooks and ebooks. But you want to have a sense of that. And you want to have a mix of mediums, because you may reach some people with the podcast, but some of your readers your audience are going to be reading Entrepreneur or Inc. or some other publication. So you have a greater chance of reaching a diverse spectrum and more people within your target audience by being on different mediums. And you can also take that content, and we really encourage this, and repurpose it. So an audio interview can be transcribed into text and can be broken up into posts for social media, memes, et cetera. And I'm amazed how many people don't do this. I mean, sometimes you listen to yourself or one of your clients on a podcast, you go, whoa, those were golden. Those are nuggets of gold. You've got to repurpose this. You've got to share that. Make sure other people see it and hear it because they need to hear that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I love that strategy because it's about multiple exposure, right? I mean, there's so many different verbiage, I don't know what you even call it, right? But for like how you would do that is we call it the content multiplier, right? It's taking one piece of content and blowing it up all over the place. And really one of the core foundations of your methodology is a book. Is that correct?
That's correct. It could be done without a book, but a book is really a great part of that strategy. It really adds so much credibility in just that one, not that it's an insignificant piece. A book is major, but it just adds so much credibility. And it also adds things like what I call search engine love. If you publish your book, it's listed on Amazon, someone Googles you, that's going to be one of the first listings that comes up. And people do Google you. And this is something I think a lot of your listeners may not be aware of, but the media will Google you. If you pitch the media, you pitch a podcast host, they're probably going to go Google you and see what Google says about you. You know, I had this experience 2 years ago. I was thinking of hiring a mindset coach, and I liked her. I liked what I saw on social media and the interaction we had. And I Googled her and I saw that she was an HR professional, nothing about the mindset. Now, we all have reinvented ourselves. I'm not saying that's not something you can do, but you've got to leave a footprint. You know, you've got to put that stake in the ground that's going to show up in Google. Otherwise, there's a disconnect and people question your credibility, or they think maybe you're too new at something and maybe they want to hire someone more experienced. So the media will do that. Podcast hosts will do it. Your prospects will do it. Your competitors will do it. So by using those different platforms, you can seed that search and build that credibility and the association with known brands. So if you're featured on your podcast or in the New York Times and that shows up in your feed, that's a positive brand association that elevates you and people regard you in a higher esteem because, oh, well, if he's good enough for the New York Times, he's good enough for me, that kind of thinking. So it's really powerful to have those kind of associations.
Yeah, I love that. And while you were talking there, I decided to Google you just because I wanted to see, right? We got to get proof of concept here. So obviously a lot of this is audio, so I'm not just going to show it, but go Google Jane Tabachnik. Perfect example. Her website is number one. On the right-hand side, it shows both of her books and a picture. You know who she is, like when you look her up. So you definitely have proof of concept here, man. Yeah. You've got a good profile. I can't get distracted. You've got a lot of really good stuff there. So, and I would agree with you. I think what people don't realize is that if they're incongruent across all of their platforms, nobody really knows what you're doing. And I even know with our brand, we constantly have to be checking all these different platforms saying, is it all fitting? Right. And we're actually currently doing, I wouldn't even call it a rebrand, but it's like a relaunch of our brand to make sure everything is congruent. So we're building a secondary website and everything for that reason, because like what you have here, everything should point towards, I help people to brand themselves, right? That's what Jane does. And so I love that that's your methodology. So I want to ask you this, what are kind of the biggest value adds as being on top of the biggest pieces that need to be seen on the top of Google when somebody Googles you? Like your book, one of them.
Yeah, book is a great one. And I would say, you know, media placements. And what I mean by that, so it could be that there's something called earned media. So when the media writes about you, or if someone were to share some content of yours or retweet you, that's earned media. You basically earned that right or that recognition. So those are really valuable, but the same impact can be achieved if you were to publish an article, like a bylined article on a large outlet. It could be Entrepreneur Inc. It could be Business to Community. There's so many different publications. And the value of that is it is often a recognized brand. And because they are considered a high authority website, they've got a high domain authority, it will help it come up higher in the search engines, like on the first page of Google. So that helps you with that credibility. Someone Googles you and that comes up instead of sometimes what you see for people, they've done a great job. They're on different social platforms. They've got a website, but everything you see on the first page of Google is their owned media, their own website, their own LinkedIn profile, their Facebook profile. And that's all great, but that is all something you're generating. And here's what I like to say. No one cares what you say about you. They don't totally trust it. People are skeptical. But when you're in a publication, you're on a podcast, now you've earned that right to be there, if you will. And so people trust. Josh wouldn't have Jane on if she wasn't credible, if she wasn't an expert. And they think the same thing if you're in the New York Times. So the media outlet is going to vet you and make sure that you're the real deal before they're going to have you on, unless it's an expose, and then you probably need a crisis management team to manage that or reputation management.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you've brought those up, because one of the big, I think, setbacks for a lot of people or roadblocks for a lot of people entering our realm, right? Saying, hey, I want to be a coach or an agency. You know, they're trying to kind of get their name out there as a personal brand. People are terrified of the content, right? How do I start and where do I start? And I know for me, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was, are you comfortable on video? And I said, no, not a chance, right? They said, are you comfortable talking to somebody one-on-one behind a microphone? I'm like, you know what? I could probably do that. I think I am comfortable with that. That's where we started. I did not record the video initially because I was terrified of doing it, right? But eventually you get comfortable with it. But that was how we kind of got into it. So I want to get your take on how you get the content and where you start with the content.
Yeah, so we're all comfortable speaking. Some of us maybe could refine our elevator pitch and do better with it, but we, since a young age, spoken language is the primary way to communicate. So I think it's a really easy way for us to create content. And one of the ways I actually create content, I'm a really slow writer. I've been published in publications, but I don't think of myself as a writer, and really I'm slow. So I will speak the article. I love open a Google Doc, use the voice little, you know, transcription technology there, free tool, and I speak it. And yeah, you have to clean it up afterwards, but basically it's a great easy way to create content in a format that most of us are used to doing and are comfortable with.
Yeah. And I love that. So, I mean, I know a lot of people even use like the voice memos app and then they take the transcription from there. I mean, I found for myself, if I don't verbally say it or I don't write it down, I'll forget it. It's a great piece of content. And then you remember 6 months later, you're like, shoot, I should have posted that. I just totally forgot about it. I've made it a habit personally. I have on my phone. I mean, one of my short links is to voice memos for that reason, right? Here's this piece of content. Here's what it's about. Da, 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 da. And then I have our team just goes through and makes a good piece of content out of it. Right. And that's for us has been a big benefit. Because it's what you're already doing, right? It's, you're not having to like create time to do it. You're already thinking about it. So I love that. Do you recommend people write books that way too? Oh, sorry to interrupt you.
Sorry. I was just going to share that I have a similar app on my phone and I will use it. I'll be out walking and I usually don't listen to music when I walk. Occasionally I'll use that time to listen to a podcast, but it's mostly time to be with nature and clear my head and just, you know, kind of think. I get some good ideas that way. And sometimes I do get good ideas and I've got to write that down. So I'll pull out the app, record it, and send it to myself. So I've captured it.
I love that. Well, and so my question for you is like, do you recommend doing that for a book as well? I know some people have written whole books doing that. Do you recommend that as a strategy?
Yes and no. So I have used that strategy. I don't like when people take the transcript pretty much the way it is, clean up any typos and just publish it. spoken language and written language are really not the same, and we process them differently. So I think you can create the basic content, but I then feel like it needs to be massaged a bit. And you can have an editor do that. That's a great process, actually. You kind of do a brain dump, if you will, and then you can hand it off to a good editor who already knows your thought process, has the stories, your language patterns, and then can shape it into a book that'll be the kind of book you want to represent your brand. But look, if that's the way you get your book done, it still gets you to be a published author if you speak your book and publish it. And, you know, I think it depends on what you're looking to do with the book. I think, you know, there can be different levels of how you use the book and, you know, who you're going to be sharing it with, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, and I really like that. Well, and I think part of the core piece of a brand is like knowing what your core methodologies are and what you're teaching. I think a book does a great job of helping you articulate kind of your riffs, like what you're willing to, what you want to share. So I want to ask you, how do you help people get those core methodologies or find their voice, right? I don't think you can find your voice until you know what you teach, right?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So I spend a lot of time trying to get to know my client and what they do. And I guess you could say I'm a bit of a quick study. And maybe a little bit intuitive. So I will get a sense of what they do. I'll feed it back to them. And then I'll usually have an idea of how to incorporate it into the book. So one of the first books I did was for a woman who is a dating and love coach. And she has a great methodology that she came up with called the 3 P's that each, she focuses on helping women. And so the book talks about the 3 P's, this process. It's that each woman has a princess, a priestess, and a peasant within her. And each part plays a role in when to use those roles and how to support yourself. And your love journey is part of what she teaches. So that was what I downloaded from her. And then I said, well, let's put some worksheets in. Let's help the reader explore her princess side, her priestess side, et cetera. So there are downloadable worksheets that you can go to her website, download them. And it gives people a taste of the process. It extends the ability of the book to be a tool, as well as to give them a taste of her her method. And this is pretty amazing. I was with her at a conference not that long after the book came out, and she came running over to me really excited, said, I just got this message from Facebook. This person read the book. They saw my posts on social media and they want to know how they can sign up to coach with me. $7,000 client, boom. And that was, they read the book. They got that taste of the methodology. They said, I need this. And you know what happens, people worry about giving away their best content, but I encourage people not to worry about that, because the truth is, I think most of us can read a book, we can just take it so far. Then we need that expert guidance, that accountability, that objective perspective, little kick in the tush to help move us along. So books are great, you can definitely learn from them, but for transformation, I really think you sometimes need a group or one-on-one situation to really take it to the next step.
I love that you said that, because a lot of people are so scared of that. If I share it here, they're not going to buy from me later. And it's the truth of it is, like you said, share everything, share your best stuff, because people need you. They need you to make it happen. And even though you're giving them all the pieces, most people's brains have a really hard time of putting things into order and saying, this is how you do it. You know, I know for us, like, I have literally taught everything that people have paid us tens of thousands of dollars to do for free on social media, right? You could learn how to be a billionaire on YouTube, but knowing what to watch, when to watch it, how those pieces fit together is so, that's what people pay for. So I love that you love your methodology on that. And so we have covered a lot of different topics here, but I hope people are catching on to the true vision of a brand. You know, it's all about multi-purposing your content. But let me ask you this, the solopreneur, right? The person who's saying, I'm just starting to be a coach. I don't have employees. I don't have money to hire employees. How do they get their content out enough without having to spend all of their time on producing content?
Such a good question. And I think it's safe to say truth be told, we all struggle with this. Time is, you know, limited. So I think you need to be strategic. And that, I think, goes back to what I said earlier about knowing your audience, knowing where they are already, and then going after that. If you're going to write one long article, let's say, where is the best place to put that to get in front of more or the most of your audience in one shot? So really being strategic and maximizing your return on time, return on investment.
I love that. It's kind of funny because there's so many methods with like, do this and you'll be rich, right? Everybody says, just follow this one framework. But I do know that when we first started, I had to learn to simplify and to stop reading sometimes and stop consuming information because I said, okay, I've got to get good at one thing. I've got to get good enough at this to see some skill. And I love kind of, you had a very, I would say kosher approach to it because you weren't saying the first thing you should do is start publishing live on Facebook, right? I know a lot of people are like, this is the one place you need to be, but the problem is those aren't evergreen strategies. Facebook Live last year was hugely successful. This year, it's actually been down quite a bit because people aren't watching the lives as much. It's just really interesting to see the shifts there. So you know, we have covered a lot of different topics. So I do want to pause here and say, how can people connect with you? Because a lot of them are probably saying, I need help with my PR. Maybe they have just started, or maybe they're further into it, but they really need help in expanding their PR and their reach. Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, so I would love it if they would stop by simplygoodpress.com. And I just launched a visibility assessment. It's short assessment, and it will give you some ideas of how you're doing and some areas where you could increase your visibility and authority positioning. So I encourage them to take that. And then once you take that, I'll also share with you some resources you can find on my website. You can also just go to my blog. There are some posts there that I'm told are helpful and informative. So poke around on the blog and or connect with me. And I'm happy to have a conversation about how you can get more visibility. And if there's interest in working together, always happy to.
Love that.
Yeah.
So first off, thank you for sharing that with everybody. So it's simplygoodpress.com. I love that assessment idea. I'm actually going to go take that because I think you should have something like this to kind of benchmark yourself multiple times. Say, where am I at? You know, am I doing okay? And I think what most people will realize, they're actually doing better than they think they are. I'm hoping that's kind of what they'll see with your assessment, right? But then being able to know exactly where to target, that's really cool. So I really appreciate that. I'm going to go use that. So,
awesome. So the idea is not to be judgmental. It's just to say, hey, you're doing a great job and here are some additional opportunities for you. And that's my goal. It's not to say, hey, you stink and you're asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. And I think some people's tools are built to that. They're like, yeah, you really suck. So you should hire me, right?
Yeah, I've gotten pitches like that via email. Yeah, we're not going to work together.
our personalities clash, right? Well, then let me ask you one final question to finish off the interview today, Jane. So, you know, we have covered a lot of different topics. So if you could leave one final parting piece of guidance for our audience, what would that be?
So I love to create little habits. It's actually not something that comes easily to me, but they're really useful. So you can create a visibility or PR habit. You can spend 15 minutes a day. I actually just did a blog post about this. I mean, a Facebook post about this. So you can do simple things like if you're familiar with Harrow, help a reporter out, you could scan that email, see if there is a PR opportunity for you. You can find a new podcast that might be a fit for you to be a guest on and pitch them. So just figure out what it is you want to be doing and then set a time, maybe Tuesday morning, every Tuesday, you're finding a new podcast and pitching a new podcast. That means you pitch 52 podcasts by the end of the year. And if your hit rate is say 50% success rate, then that means you'll have 26 interviews within the space of a year or so. That's pretty amazing, right?
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.